And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man will come to bed. The hairs on your arm will stand up. That's a terror in each sip and in each suck. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's grind when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wigs. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. Got a great program lined up for you. Part 3 of Genesis Unveiled. We're going into some major prophetic places tonight for part 3. You don't want certainly to miss either part of this exciting series that we're doing on the unveiling of the book of Genesis. And now we're going to go to the last book, from Alpha to Omega, from Aleph to Tau in the Hebrew, and from beginning to end. And we're going to go into part 3 of Genesis Unveiled and call and subtitle this "The Abominable Branch That Was Cast Out." Ladies and gentlemen, there was a great war that commenced with the eviction notice that was served on Satan, and those who had broken sacred covenant and walked on forbidden ground. Now, before I begin tonight's exciting series, I would certainly like to give you some prophecies that I made back 35 years ago when I studied the pyramids. Now, it's written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, verse 19, that in the midst of Egypt, a monument, an altar, a memorial, will be erected, or was erected at the time this was written, was already there, because the monument that was erected this altar in the midst of Egypt was for the sacred god, not the Egyptians now, that the Egyptians are just, actually, they are introductions after the fact of the great wonder, and this is the final wonder standing in the world. We have the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, we have the great gate in the bay of the great god Zeus, and so the seven major wonders is down to one. Isn't it wonderful that the altar that was dedicated to the god that Paul said in the book of Acts chapter 17, the god that you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, this monument was erected by the ancient high priesthood of the time of Enoch and the holy ones who from heaven came. This was an expression of recognition to be the final wonder. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the pyramid. Of course, you know it's 13 acres. That represents the 13 tribes of the sacred covenant people, the family that was chosen out of the earth above all people exclusively for recognition to bring and highlight and to endorse and encourage people to turn from their pagan gods. Ladies and gentlemen, the New Testament is filled with the name of a pagan god. Actually, when it's improperly interpreted, it is Jesus, Iesus, or the horse, or the recognition to the great monument that was in the harbor, the statue of Zeus, the pagan god of the ancient antiquity. These are the gods that Yahweh declared just to be gods. He said, is there a god beside me? I know not any. So Yahweh himself is still standing with a monument of 13 acres of expression of stone with the missing capstone. This is the stone the builders rejected, the great name that Pharaoh himself wants to declare the name of Yahweh throughout the earth. I want to get into the war principles, but before I do, I want to give you an introduction to part four. You don't want to miss what Pastor Buddy's going to tell you that lays beneath the pyramids or the ancient altar. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether you know this or not, but you heard about the Great Wall of China that was built to keep the invaders out in the 8th century. Well, beneath the pyramid, there lays a valuable treasure of complete knowledge and revelation. In other words, the ancient ones embedded beneath the pyramid the history of the earth prior to Genesis 1:1. Moses was only permitted to speak an ambiguous language, allegorical, if you will, when he was declaring with the broad brush words and then the translators who have mistranslated Genesis horribly from the original language of the mother tongue of the 22 sacred letters, which is the two levens that stands in division of Babylon's kingdom of earth and Yahweh's kingdom, that has come and will come in fullness just a few years down the road. Now, when we say few, that could be another 1,000 or so years. But one day with Yahweh is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But getting back to the pyramids, 13-acre edifice. Now, the government of Egypt, all of a sudden, after a robot was placed in a certain hidden chamber in the pyramids, the Egyptian government stopped all of the investigators, those that were doing research and investigating, and they cleaned out the pyramid and they closed it for quite some time, they said, for repair and for refreshment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what they did actually was find the secret hidden door to an underground expanse that will change the course of history of this world. It will write a false history. Did you know that the wicked ones, these draconian, these vermin that are and have and will continue up until they are removed, infesting the planet, working in whom they can, these reptilian evil ones, these that came from heaven to mix their seed and sow the tares and came to do battle with the ancient one, the one that would come in the end of the world and open up a gate, a narrow gate, ladies and gentlemen. Just as Christ, 2,000 years ago, opened up the narrow gate of the spiritual city. Remember, what is above, so is below. And hidden below the pyramids is an ancient city of intrigue and mystery, and it houses a library that will prove Pastor Buddy and others, I'm not the lone wolf here, I'm certainly not the Lone Ranger by any means with this revelation. But this revelation came because the scriptures will tell you that in the last days, the mysteries, the great mysteries, and we're talking about prior to Genesis 1 and 1, where the great mysteries shall be finished, and that we will be given permission to open the seals, just like that they opened the seal and found the entrance door to this secret city beneath the pyramids. And now, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to an enormous expense since the year 2002. This is the prophetic timeline. There's 2 years difference in the adjustment of time, as we know time. So it would have been approximately 2000, the year 2000, that this door would be found to the secret city beneath the pyramids. And now, after they found it, after they analyzed what they had below, knowing that everyone in the world would want to see or visit or hear about this magnificent find, that is, if it hadn't been wrapped real tight and controlled for the reptilians who have tried to forbid this secret knowledge from coming to the surface. Why? Because to keep you ignorant, fearful, and superstitious, then the scriptures would define your plight as destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Most people are not daring enough to serve the Creator. Most people are centrally located into the carnality of their own mind, seeking their own welfare and justification, not willing to suffer a season to glorify the Mighty One with the truth. Pastor Buddy has no seat or voice in the bellbox churches of churchianity. There is not a church that I know of tonight where the congregations meet to preach about the triune Trinitarian concept of God, where Pastor Buddy would be welcome to give the Genesis account and then confirm it, as I'm going to do tonight in the book of Revelations. Now, war. We're talking about war. Why is this great wall? And remember, many people have died in honor of revealing information, because information that will save or enlighten has been sequestered and it's been hindered from coming to the surface. There is now a wall being built around the entire complex of the pyramids. This runs far out into the desert. It's 22 feet high and it's buried 8 to 10 feet below the sand or the surface level, as they are making sure that there is not going to be any invasion, unauthorized, to come in. This is strictly for crowd control, because there's going to be masses coming to this great mine. This mine will be announced in a few years, if not sooner, and it will startle the world. And of course, the archaeologists and the anthropologists and the mighty kings and captains of the earth were going first to see if there's any way that they can remove those things which are most enlightening for the masses, because you see, ladies and gentlemen, we're still in war. Now, Satan's plan, remember, the Bible says in the first 7 days of creation that God, after he completed his creation in Genesis 1, that he saw it was good. Well, if he saw that what he did in the first 7 days was all good, why is it then that evil was found to bring deception to Adam's kind, where they fell through transgression? Where did this evil come from? The Genesis account of creation tells us again that the assessment of our Creator Yahweh said everything is good. Now, if it was good, Satan had to come from beyond Genesis 1:1, when God said, "Let there be light." Now, I have long held the theory that there was light prior to Genesis 1:1 and 2. Meaning that there was a world before Genesis 1:1. There had to be a reclaiming, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, my contention is tonight, with the war that is going on, this is a spiritual battle. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Now I want to read you a very interesting scripture. Remember now, in part 4, I will reveal to you the effect and the reason why the pyramid was built as an honorary altar that would reflect the glory of our Creator, and that the ancients alone worshipped. The great Orion constellation and the 12, if you will, constellations that revolve around this great center path of what we call the Milky Way. I'll go into that in part 4 of the final battle. You don't want to miss part 4. It'll be very interesting for you to learn some of the hidden aspects of the knowledge that's been kept secret from the foundation of the world, and now will be revealed by Yahweh's holy prophets in the end time. Now, I want to get back to something that I must make you aware of, and it's a verse of scripture in the book of Revelations, and it's in chapter 12. ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the two most important chapters in the Bible is the last 10 verses of Revelations 11 and the 17 verses in chapter 12 of the book of Revelations. You need to read and study very carefully. Let me give you a scripture here concerning life prior to Genesis 1 and 1. I didn't think that this life was good because darkness is upon the face of the deep. Satan and his fallen ones, who had polluted the first world and brought it to naught, was standing on the edge of eternity, waiting to see what Yahweh would bring forth out of the dark, chaotic conditions of the remnants of the first world. We're talking about Atlantis, Lemuria, and the transformation of civilization and technology far superior to what we have today. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to predict to you that not many years hence, we are going to have an announcement upon planet Earth that will revolutionize and change the course and the destiny of the Earth. This knowledge has been forever, but has been sequestered, and it has been hidden from those whose eyes should behold, and yet the eyes have become dim or blinded for fear, ignorance, and superstition, failure to obey Yahweh and keep his commandments, because Satan has come down to do his job, and he's done it quite well by actually turning 99% of the earth into confusion, disarray, ignorance, and fear, and superstition. 99%. Now, what about the narrow gate? Remember I told you about the gate that they found beneath the pyramid. You say, well, what's the pyramid got to do with the kingdom of heaven? There is a facsimile of the city that is to come down from heaven. Remember, this city's going to come down, ladies and gentlemen. And we're talking about a dimensional shift in the last days where much knowledge is going to be increased. And then the wisdom of the ancient ones will be put back in the mouth of the prophets. You see, we've been restricted. Paul said, I've got things to tell you that I'm not permitted at this time. And then the Bible says to John, shut up the book and do not write for that. Information is reserved for the prophets of the last days. How can you hear without a preacher? And he must be inspired. He must be daring. He must be bold. He must be willing to suffer. He must be willing to fast for long periods of time for the information that comes only to the hunger of the soul of the prophet that was placed in the earth in various stages and at various times in history. There's always been a revelation prophet to come on the scene at the right time to bring you the rest of the story. Now, verse 12 of Revelations, chapter 12. And we're going to talk about life that existed prior to. You see, Adam, I have said, was a replenishment, a replacement for something that had been extinguished. Well, we find that there was a close extinguishing of the race of Adam in the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis as it commenced with chapter 6, where these beings from the heavens came down to begin a mating, if you will, a mixture of the lineages, angelic beings. Now, when I say angelic beings, we look at these who have much knowledge, or technology, or power. Have you ever thought that an angel rode in a spacecraft? That he could travel great distances into what we call the bottomless pit? Which is nothing more than a code word for deep space. ladies and gentlemen, within the system that I told you in part one, the billions of star systems, the galaxies far beyond our own, even into the depth that you cannot comprehend, including into what we call the stars of darkness, or the dark star. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for light to shine. Notice this. Therefore rejoice, you heavens. Now, who's in the heavens to rejoice? If there's no one there of intelligent design, if the world here, if this world is the only world that the Bible does not speak of a world, it speaks of worlds, and those in those worlds, it said, for them to rejoice, and you that dwell in them. Do you literally mean, Pastor Buddy, that someone besides us dwells on other planet system or in the heavens far out into what we call space? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it just might be possible. Let me turn now to the book of Acts to give you a very interesting scripture concerning the limitations, if you will, of the Messiah. Now, if you will start at verse 6 of Acts chapter 1, when they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Ladies and gentlemen, you know that the kingdom of Israel has not been in restoration since the fall of Satan, who comes to war with those that would try to build or enter in and destroy it, because Satan would be there just as he was in Revelation 12, verse 1, where he stood at the feet of the woman. This is allegorical in its merited favor to give us a descriptive, allegorical narrative of what really went on. This is an astrological sign. And the Bible says in the last day that the heavens will declare the works of his hand, and many signs will be in the heavens. Everybody's waiting for a sign that would satisfy the appetite of the carnal. Ladies and gentlemen, the carnal mind will never be satisfied with that which is spirit, because the carnal mind is not subject to it, and neither indeed can be. So you must lay your life. If you want power with the Father, if you want revelation, if you want to understand the deep mysteries, you must seek to search, fast to pray, and hold on to that which is good, and shun the temptation for filthy lucre, for Satan will buy you out in a heartbeat and offer you millions of dollars if you've got any truth at all to mix a little leaven and blood to destroy it all. I hear these preachers on the radio saying that water baptism is to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the name Jesus Christ is a fictitious name that has an association with the horse or Zeus. And those who are deceived by these false brilliant jackasses that hawk the wares for money and come up with these incredible plans to fleece the flock, holy water, holy oils, and smear here and smear there. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that will bring down or lift you up, is a better way, is truth. It is the truth that will free you from these false prophets who promote false names at the cause of popularity. You know, when I revealed the truth that the name of Jesus wasn't even 300 years old and wasn't actually even in spelling mode of the original 1611 King James Bible, because there was no J's there. You see where the war's at, and it's in the battle of man's mind. If you believe a lie, and the Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned, who hold not the truth. You've got to have the truth. You can't hold all. All will not cure anything other than what it was delegated for. If there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them in oil and the prayer of faith. You see, oil is just an obedience factor. If he said peanut butter, you'd have smeared peanut butter. But it would be the prayer of faith that we'd get it done. Now, what kind of oil did he say? Did he say to anoint in olive oil? Of course not. Olive oil is a cheap substitute for the real thing. Did you know anointing oil and for the sacred articles that we're to use against Satan, like an anointing of the stones and the sacred articles of the city or the house where we dwell, and the instruments that we use, this was to be a special oil. And you know why these preachers don't use it today? Because too much of the divine said it out to you. There is a special, unique formula only for anointing. And it's found in Exodus chapter 30. Olive oil is one of the component parts, but it is in limited qualities that are quantities that are to be added to, and it must be pure and in quality. But olive oil is not the only ingredient to make up the holy anointing oil. So when these preachers get up and they start babbling this something out of the 23rd chapter of imagination, that they some magical power in what they tell you to do, they're even going to tell you that Christ's going to appear in the desert and everybody's going to run, and Christ's up here on the mountain and everybody's going to run there and run here. And these prophets like to gather around them people that will support their cause and pay to keep them flying high. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth that will tear down the strongholds of deception and defeat the ignorance and the fear and the superstition of the ignorant and unlearned who wrestle with the scriptures because they have no prophet to tell them the true name. I'm giving you one name. I don't offer you two, and I'm not going to confuse you. The one that you got in the New Testament needs to be looked at quite intently. You must study because Satan will deceive the very elect if possible. And ladies and gentlemen, evil men have had in their possession the Bible for over 1,000 to 1,500 years. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, they have not stopped to put in a false name. The greatest error that Satan has given man is the ideal that there is another name under heaven to be saved. Did you know that the only name that's got salvation is the same name that you can read in Exodus chapter 3, verses 15 through 17? This is the covenant name of Yah. Wow. And it was given in divine holiness, the truth of spirit. And there's none other name under heaven. And if they come to you, if an angel comes to you in any other name except the name that was revealed, remember John 5:43, the Son came in the name of Yahweh. He didn't come in the name of Jesus. The apostolic fathers did not know the Messiah by the name of Jesus, and therefore the King James Bible has admitted its errors with the New King James Bible. Just get it and read it. You'll find out that the name that should have been in there, instead of Lord and God and Jesus, should have been Yahweh. No, my friends, how people still get around these false prophets simply because they got more radio time than some poor embattled preacher like myself that has to battle through the ignorance, the fear, and the superstition of all those that will turn from the truth and become vain and jangling and sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You know, what they ought to do is tie us, all us preachers, up in a sack and don't feed us until they cry uncle. And the last man to remain in the sack, take a look at truth. He'll be there on the bottom of the heap, praise Yahweh, where all these are climbing to give a piece of bread, because the Bible says they'll sell out for a piece of bread. Let me show you something here. From Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 9. I want to particularly give you verse 9 to coincide with Revelations 12 and 12. You that rejoice in the heavens and other worlds of inhabited places, because Yahweh has given us a second world on the earth. First one was nullified through darkness and the oppression and the takeover by Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, if it was not for the great name of the Creator, you say, well, it's by the blood. You can't get one drop of that blood. But you can honor that blood through recognition by taking the name into your forehead. This sacred name is the four sacred letters of the Tetragrammaton. The Yod Hey Vav Hey. Oh, hallelujah. Are these Jesus preachers, every once in a while, they'll get happy and shout and tell the truth. As they pronounce the word, praise be to Yah. Psalm 68:4 is a good way to start your education. These preachers that have preached false names and will not stop for the sake of filthy lucre or for fear of losing their flock, because they've been taught so long or born into or shapen into sin and brought forth in iniquity. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time to be washed totally and free to choose the only name under heaven given that's got any salvation. And it's certainly not Jesus. You see, I make friends there. No. Well, I've got all kinds of friends that'll write me next week and say, Pastor Buddy, preach the truth. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, the only name under heaven is Yahweh. The Yod-Heh-Vah, the sacred four letters that was in Genesis before the world ever was established. And will be the final judgment factor as we look at Revelations 22, where we find those who had the name of the Father in the forehead that came in Revelation of 14, where we find the 144,000. We're going to talk about that. Let me give you this verse of Scripture. Right. And when he had spoken these things, about the Messiah, while they beheld, he was taken up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it didn't say that he just floated up on the cloud by some proof of the Spirit. It said he was taken. Well, did you know that Enoch, the one that has given me some revelations in the Genesis factor, or the unveiling, and yet the book of Enoch has been set aside simply because it talks about sexual perversion with angels mating with mankind, and we're afraid to look at the truth, because it upsets the traditional bell box tradition. Now, the Bible said, full well, they will reject the truth to keep their own tradition. He was taken up, and a cloud received him. He was on a cloud, like you hear these preachers preaching. He was taken up in something. Something took him up. Now, what was it that took up Elijah? You think, maybe, that the Old Testament is a lamp to the feet of our thoughts of the new. Elijah was taken up in a chariot because Elisha, the faithful servant, had his eyes open to see the majestic ship that came down from heaven under intelligent control. Michael has intelligence. Gabriel has intelligence, and they don't age, ladies and gentlemen. Neither does the Ancient of Ages. The reason we call him the Ancient, he was before the angels, because angels are created beings, and the Ancient has no creation. That's the difference between the angelic beings and the one without creation. Now, where do you come in? Yahweh Shua, our Savior who came to earth to battle Satan and revealed certain things before he was taken up on a cloud by a chariot of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more chariots being seen now since World War II. We're coming up to the future of World War III, which will not only be fought on the earth, it will be fought in the heavens and around the planet systems. And that's why so much emphasis is being put upon the exploration of space. Those who would try to climb into the heavens some other way. Oh my. Oh yes, they have made great leaps of technology with lighter than air, gravity defying, a supersonic. We're talking about hyper speed. We're not talking about breaking the sound barrier of light at 286,000 miles per second. We're talking about the traveling outside of time itself with the door to the dimension shifted through scientific technology that the angelic beings of the heavens, some good and some bad, by the way, have at their command. Now, again, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, here is the most incredible thing about that. Remember, I gave you the acknowledgement that the heavens and those that dwelled in them would rejoice with Satan being thrown out. That the reason they rejoiced, ladies and gentlemen, was that Satan lost his place in the stones of fire, or the planetary systems, or the star systems. And I hope this is not over your head tonight. You need to get out of this fear and superstition and start looking at the constellations and get the book by E. Raymond Kapp, a noted Israelite scholar, that talked about the glory of the stars, or get, if you will, E.W. Bullinger's Glory of the Stars, and look at the constellations or the dimensionals that describe in pictorial placement of the star systems. As Yahweh himself declared the end from the beginning, and by doing that, Yahweh brought forth the revelation of painting the picture of declaring the end from the beginning, and only the wise can look up into the heavens, because when Satan fell, there was a great shaking in the heavens, along with a rejoicing. Now, let me give you the final warning here. In part three of Genesis Unveiled, there is a descriptive scripture of how he fell, Revelations 12 and 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against a dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. Which brings us to Isaiah 14, 12, and 17. How have I fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You see, he was the number two in the hierarchy of the galactic council that sits in the heavens and rules over the worlds, not the world. This world is a single, solitary experiment by Yahweh and the Mighty Ones to see what man would do and what kind of inventions he would bring up. We find that in verse 3 and 4 of Genesis chapter 6, that they would sought out many wicked, evil, draconian, infesting inventions. Now, why would Yahweh, knowing the track record of the draconian, those who dwell outside this dimension into a heaven that is forbidden now? Because you see, the Bible says in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations, let me give you the scripture entitlement here of what it says about the Satan, and after the war. After the war, there was a period, or interlude, if you will. Satan must not come to the earth immediately. Everybody thinks when Satan was cast out in Revelations 12 and 12, that he came immediately to the earth, but that's not true. There's an interlude, and we're going to find it there. And I saw an angel come down from heaven. Now, he came from heaven. In other words, the place where Yahweh dwells. Because, you see, Satan is cast off that planet. He no longer is or has favored status in the number two position where he stood for centuries. And he began to accuse the brother in the first world experiment. Not the second world, but the first world. He began to accuse the brothers, and it turned the situation of light in Genesis, part 2, Genesis 1 and 1. It turned the heavens dark. And the Bible says that they systematically became dark. They were not created dark by Yahweh. Yahweh only creates in light because there's no darkness in him. And I hope you can find that out in your spirit and let it sink in there. And let it take a hold, and let your revelation open up, irregardless of life, house, land, children. What is greater, a temporary experiment or experience of pleasure for a season, or for giving up those pleasures and obeying the truth? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a warfare in the minds of men. But the angel came down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. Now, I want you to actually concentrate, or mark, if you will, the word key. The key to this revelation lays in an interlude. Satan and his angels were chained in the bottomless pit. Now, we can read more about that in the book of Jude, in the book of Revelation, and, of course, the set-aside book, the set-apart book, which would be the book of Enoch, which is written also in allegorical terms, but it really gives a deeper insight because of the sexual perversion of the draconian as they begin to infest their seed into the other worlds that they could come in and interfere with the experiments of Yahweh and his other angels who remain loyal to his cause. Ladies and gentlemen, the angel that came down out of heaven having the keys to the abyss was the angel that we know as the Savior of our soul. That would have been Yahushua himself. And I saw this angel having the key of the bottomless pit. Remember, he went to the bottomless pit, ladies and gentlemen, and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. Now, remember, he had to take the key from Satan, who had been given the oversight key to this system in this part of the solar universe, and Satan was the god of this earth. And he ruled in other worlds until he was cast out of the heavens. He even ruled number two man and by hierarchy of heaven, and he was cast out. Now listen to me. And he, that angel, the only one that had power over him, and our Messiah, the great angel that came from heaven, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Now isn't it in the book of Ezekiel where he said, or the book of Isaiah, and also in Ezekiel to give us another witness. I got fallen from heaven, Isaiah 14:12. O Lucifer, son of the morning, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now, here is the opposite. The Bible said, and having the key of a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, chain symbolizes a restraining order. Satan and his angels were taken into a very deep, bottomless pit called the universe. They were put on a wayward planet far outside our solar system. And there they would have to earn or wait until the proper time, till that restraining order or the time would come that they would be loosed again for a little season. And that loosing is in the now. After these great scientific finds of ancient history, beneath the bottom sands of the Great Pyramid, and Yahweh himself turned this lush paradise, after the pyramids was built, he turned it into a whirl of sand, and he blowed the sand over the great city and covered most of the great wonders that we're going to refine or reinvent, if you will, nothing new under the sun. And we're going to see the great, marvelous historical archive that the Father said will contain the mysteries that will be revealed in the last days. Now listen to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Calling. You better understand that that old serpent, which is the devil, was bound for 1,000 years. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you some scripture that will indicate why there was a war. In Matthew chapter 17, we read that, behold, there appeared unto the Messiah and to Peter, James, and John, Elijah and Moses talking with him. This is in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 17. Now notice this, when they ask the question about John the Baptist, who was to be Elijah, as it was prophesied in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, that he would send the prophet Elijah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how could he send Elijah, who was translated and taken up by a chariot into the heavens and in the clouds? Matthew 11:12. Read it for yourself. After they asked the question, Christ acknowledged that Elijah would come first before him. Because the prophecy that he would come before the Messiah was to come and would make a way or a highway for him. And Christ told them that Elijah indeed had come. And then they understood. Read the whole chapter of Matthew chapter 17. And I'll preach on this on the 1,000-year lane. One of these days, I will give you the privilege of hearing the truth about the 1,000-year lane. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the time of great deception, and only a few will get the message. The great angel cast Satan into the bottomless pit and shut him up. Now, what does that mean? That means that the orbiting system of this great wayward planet far into the deep will have an appointed time to make its orbit back into our constellation or our own solar system within the set time. At the appropriate time, Satan and his angels will begin to make or reinvent themselves on planet Earth. Now listen to me again. that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming up on the revelation that I just told you about. Great revelations are coming. Most knowledge is going to be increased. The inventions. And then Satan will be given a temple in Jerusalem. He will reign there as Jesus Christ, because the three unclean spirits that have gathered to make this event happen, and religion is the opium of the people that is used by the New World Order or the controllers, the draconian vermin that I've been talking about, that has going to invade or infest this or one more time for a short time. And when this happens, ladies and gentlemen, he will deceive the very elect, if possible. My time is gone. I don't have time to get to the Bible, how it was fought, but I will pick it up in chapter 4 of our series of Genesis Unveiled. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and Shepherd's Call on WWCR. This is the great voice that goes around the world. It's the jewel of the South. And you're listening to us here at 8:55 Eastern Standard Time on the Shepherd's Call. Now, let me tell you, for those of you who would like to write us and send us a love offering of any size, that I will send you a t-shirt with the sacred name of the Creator emblazed so that you can wear it as a message for your church. And they're going to say, what's that mean? And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest name in the universe and the name that was created all things, he was in the world and world was created by him. He called his Father's name, and the Father's name is Yahweh, 5,683 times, and people say, what's his name? Very few people know it. Get acquainted with it. If you'd like to have this t-shirt sent to you, along with tonight's message entitled Genesis Unveiled, you can simply write Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, Brazil 37824. Now, let's again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, Brazil 37824. And if you would like to call me tonight, this is the seventh day. If you're listening to us on WWCR 5070, this is Sunday evening on August the 7th of the year 2005. So, tell a friend. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, we need your financial help to get more time on the radio. See, we're preaching the truth, and we need your help. Because straight is the way, narrow is the gate, few there be that find it. Broad is the way, wide is the gate. So you see, the preachers that are preaching successful, we've got a lot of radio time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong with the preacher. He's got a lot of radio time. That means he's getting more money than the truth is telling. Because you have to tell a lie to get money. The truth is so disturbing that it'll even make you mad at the preacher brought it. And that's what we're giving you is truth. Now, there'll be a few that will receive it, the sheep. But the goats will do all those necessary things because the truth will drive them crazy. Praise God. You know why? Because it confuses the carnal mind. Truth is a spiritual revelation and an involvement of intensity and pure desire by those who seek the Father. Now, if you'd like to call this toll-free number from 9 to 5 through the weekdays to offer support for our broadcast and our radio time, simply call toll-free 1-877-207-2276. 289-7439 and have your credit cards ready. We'll take those, if you will. Dr. Gary will be glad to take your credit card, or you can send a check or pledge an offering of any size, and we'll take anything you can send to us to preach the revelation of Genesis Unbound. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to cut out of here. Time on the wall is telling us we got to get out of here. So we'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR 5070 with the revelation of the truth. And we'll be there to give you part four, the final of the series, part four of the message, Genesis Unveiled. God will bless you.
Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big battleground. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are calling, some are crying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the tornado. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for me to kick against the prick. In measured 100 weight and 50 pounds. When the man comes around.
Four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.